If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Yes, we're relieved, excited, and proud to get an opportunity to advance. That day, I thought Sanford was great. You know, I've never played against anybody that there's never a break in the action. You know, they're always pressuring in some way, shape, or form. And they, of course, the way they shot it the second half was pretty much incredible. But proud of our guys. And, of course, these two guys really stepped up and played great.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Katera is now joined by Greg Gurley. Greg, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I love waking up a little motley crew.
That's right. Normally you would have joined us around 8:30, but I mentioned that. I said, well, this will give us a longer conversation with Greg. But Jake then said it also gives him a few minutes more of sleep because you were up late for the late game. And then I wanted to play this for you so you understand what happens when you're not listening. Nate Bucati then gave his thoughts about you coming on at 9:05 instead of 8:30.
A few minutes of sleep.
No, that doesn't matter.
He's on a different time zone.
Right.
It's like, want to make sure you have time to hit that breakfast buffet.
Wow.
Jeez.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
I'm not really a breakfast guy. It was a little late last night. We were still at the arena right around 11:30, and we had to lobby our lobby bar to stay open there. Different rules out here, and they shut down earlier and kind of needed something late night last night just to celebrate, right? And they were ready to pack it up and head home, so we had to do a little bribing.
Did it work?
Yeah. I also called ahead and got two or three ready for me. They're a little watered down, but it worked.
Nate Bucati, your thoughts?
It's good talking to you, Greg.
Hey, buddy.
I was hanging out with some of your buddies last night. They were all... Yeah. It was good. It was a good time.
were you at a large party at a large land-based place?
Yes. I'm there right now.
I've never been able to do that, obviously, because we always make the tournament 34 years in a row.
Yeah, and Steven and I have never been able to do it either for obvious reasons, too.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'm shocked that Nate got to go.
Well, you know, it's not kid-friendly, but they let me come anyway. Let's talk about this game, Greg. First of all, up 22, how are you feeling? And then describe what it was like as Sanford started chipping away at that lead.
Well, just like anybody, I think when you're up 22, you feel pretty comfortable. Things are going well and making shots. And I thought the Sanford press is what allowed us to win. I wasn't that impressed with their press, and we attacked it and scored a lot of points. And if they would have pulled that press off, I think it would have been more difficult for us. So I was glad they played it. Now, they also started shooting it much better, and that got us all a little nervous. And I use the word little. You know, we were nervous. They had all the momentum. The entire crowd was behind them, and things weren't going well. And we were on a drought. DeJuan hit a little floater just to kind of stop that run. And then towards the end of the game, gosh, we got up by 7. Nick was at the line for a 1-1. He missed it. And 7 points turns into 4 real quick with the way they shot it. And we had to really make some big plays down the stretch to win. So a ton of credit to Sanford and the way they play and the heart they gave. And just they're so good hitting clutch shots. And a big factor in the game, too, was, you know, we talk about all the time when we play against teams that shoot a lot of threes, going to be a lot of long rebounds. And they were better at chasing long rebounds down than we were. And I believe they had 16 offensive rebounds, and a lot of those turned into open threes. And that's what kept them in the game.
What did you think of the, obviously, the play that everyone's talking about, the block shot that was called a foul.
Yeah, from the watching it live, Nick did a good job of falling, and when you slow it down, it looks like he definitely got the ball. But officials have a tough job. When it looks like there's contact, they got to make a decision. And I thought Bucky McMillan handled it really well in the press conference, and he's right. There was 50 other calls that went both ways. But this one being at the very end when they still had a chance, obviously, is the one that everyone's going to talk about. But, I look at right before that when Achiuwa caught the ball and took about five steps before he got a dribble going and got a dunk. And that shouldn't be minimized compared to the block. That's a turnover. And so things like that happen throughout the game. I thought the officials did a good job overall, but hey, they always miss calls both ways. And I can't blame it on this, but I always find the NCAA tournament strange the way they do it, where they bring, different crews together that had never reffed together before, as opposed to the Big 12 or whatever league you're in. You get the same guys every night, same teams. A lot of these guys are comfortable with each other, and they kind of call it a certain way. And I do like the fact that they've been letting them play. There's been some physicality. But that one's going to stand out. But it went the way of the Jayhawks, and, everyone else just going to have to deal with it.
Hey, did you get a chance to watch much of the Gonzaga-McNeese game?
We were, yes. There, I got there about 10 minutes into the first half, and they were killing them. Absolutely killing them. It wasn't a game for the last 30 minutes because of what they did early. So a lot of size. They can shoot it. The big guys can step out and shoot it. And I think that's what stood out to me, that they do shoot the three ball so well. And, obviously after our performance last night defensively, that's something that we've got to do a better job of. Find shooters, hand up, rebound. We want to win on Saturday. We got to defend the three-point line better.
Yeah, and Nate's upset special of the first round was McNeese to win, and then they lost by 21, and so that was a little bit of a misstep there. But So it is right. Well, so it is Gonzaga, and so you mentioned a little bit of what impressed you, but they haven't been getting a whole lot of credit. And I know some people suggested that they were, seeded too highly, but then if you believe in the KenPom rankings, they're the number 12 team in KenPom's rankings, and they are. I mean, there's pedigree there. This is the type of matchup you would normally see in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. I mean, this is two of the best programs we've seen over the past several years, several decades. And Gonzaga, they haven't won the national championship, but boy, they've been knocking on the door. How does this team compare? Like, how good is this Gonzaga team in your opinion?
I think it's a little bit to do with how good they have been in the past. They've fallen off a little bit as far as the regular season goes, but they still got guys. They got really good guys. They got size, guys that can shoot it. They're obviously extremely well coached. Mark Few is one of the best. So I think it's just a product of how successful they have been. And when they fall off a little bit, people think they're vulnerable. And you could almost say the same thing about us. We were like that too, and now we're a 4 seed, they're a 5 seed. I mean, a month ago or 6 weeks ago, they were talking about Gonzaga not making the tournament, but they went down to Lexington, Kentucky, and beat Kentucky, and that kind of opened up everyone's eyes. And, they don't have the Drew Timmy or the stars that they've had in the past, the Suggs. I mean, they don't have that this year. They've got a bunch of guys that could all play, and sometimes that's better than having a star, and especially when you gel at the right time and you have a lot of weapons, you're a very dangerous team. So this people that know basketball aren't going to sit on Gonzaga and be like, okay, well, this is a good matchup for us. No, it's not a good matchup for us. It's going to be a really tough game. It's the story of the NCAA tournament. You got to beat good teams to advance, and last night was no different, and Saturday will be the same.
Nate Buchady.
You keep bringing up the three-pointers, Greg, and obviously that is a huge storyline. I mean, Bill Self, after the game, said, you know, you're not going to get outscored by, what was it, 30 from the three-point line very often and win. And you mentioned that maybe a lot of what Samford was able to do in terms of getting open looks was on the offensive glass and then getting kickouts for threes. How much can you expect KU to keep up with Gonzaga shooting threes? Do they have to? And how do they clamp down defensively to make sure they don't get, you know, the kind of three-point looks that Samford got?
Well, long rebounds are basically loose balls that, you know, we hear the term 50-50 balls all the time, and who's going to be quicker to the ball. And a lot of times the offense has a little bit of an advantage because they're, you know, you're backing up trying to box out somebody on defense, and the offense can kind of see where the ball's going. And last night, Samford was really good at it. And they turned a lot of those opportunities into threes, and that's a good time to hit a team when they're scrambling because they're not set and you're just boxed out. You've been running around trying to find the ball, find it, kick it to the corner, boom. And so that's the explanation. Now the answer is be quicker to the ball. Get a box out. Every time the shot goes up, get a body on somebody and don't allow them a lane. But that's easier said than done. And on the flip side for us, we had a little success last night from the three-point line for us. I mean, most teams would be like, all right, you made six threes, okay. But that's pretty good for us, especially when we made three early and kind of set the tone. And then the three ball by Nick Timberlake in the left corner was probably the biggest shot of the game when Kansas was mightily struggling, just could not get anything going. And in a fast break opportunity, we get a three, and that was huge. And we needed every point that we got out of that one because – just struggled down the stretch. But, yeah, it's, you know, this team, realistically, if we make six, seven, or eight threes, we'll be happy. We've just got to limit the other team so they don't get 16 because you just got to make it up in other ways, and the math doesn't work.
How I don't know, how healthy is Dickinson now? I mean, he went out, he scored 19 points and 20 rebounds. I mean, do you feel like he's, capable of being Hunter Dickinson when they go up against a bigger opponent? Because obviously Samford didn't have a ton of size. How healthy is he?
I think he's healthy. I think last night showed you everything you needed to know. I mean, he was physical. He got his arms above his head and dunked a few times. Had blocked four shots, and that's all, you know, getting his arms in the air, which is where you're going to be limited with the injury that he has. And so I thought he was great, and I don't see any reason he wouldn't be 100% on Saturday. I was a little scared when that intentional foul happened where the defender pulled down on basically both of his biceps as he was trying to go up, and he played through that. And I don't think there's any ill will on that, but it sure looked like he was targeting the shoulders. So they called it, and unfortunately missed the free throws. But after watching – last night's game, I didn't see anything different out of Hunter than we've seen all year.
What did you think of Bill Self feeling it necessary to take to Twitter in a lengthy defense of Kevin McCullough on game day? That doesn't happen ever?
No, it doesn't. But obviously, you know, when he made his statements and then the Twitter world and the whole social media world blew up and has everybody's got opinions, and he just wanted to, you know, squash those opinions and give everybody what's going on. Kevin worked really hard to get his knee back in shape, and it just didn't work. And so that's the reality. And so he had to squash all the naysayers and all the internet people that think they've got the story. I know it. He hated doing it. I mean, he doesn't like – you see how many tweets he sent out. He doesn't do that very often, but he felt it necessary, and I think it shut a lot of people up. And Kevin was on the bench and ready to go. You could see him over there navigating plays and talking to guys and just giving advice. And his coach on the bench, and would love to have him out there. But, hey, sometimes injuries happen, and it sucks. It's not optimal. We've dealt with injuries late in the year. I'm not going to say more than anybody else in the country, but as you go through our last decade, it's happened all the time to us, and we've had the next man up mentality, and that's exactly what it was last night. And just really proud of Nick Timberlake and even Marco Jackson, who had a lot of turnovers, had problems with turnovers last night, but he made three big baskets. He was the only bench scorer that we had, but came up with some big plays down the stretch, just little plays, winning plays, not necessarily scoring the basketball. So got what we needed out of those guys, for sure.
All right. So do you use an iPad or anything when do you have any need for Wi-Fi when you're there working, calling a game?
Yeah.
Did you notice what the Wi-Fi network is named in the Delta Center?
100%. It's great. As you go down and you choose Wi-Fi, it just says Jordan pushed off.
Right.
They don't need a password or anything. It's just, that's it. Jordan pushed off from 30 years ago.
I like how they're still
a screenshot of it.
Right. I like how they're still pissy about that all these years later. The Wi-Fi network to the Delta Center with the Utah Jazz, like Jordan pushed off. And so I thought,
well, yeah, usually it's like Delta Center Press. Right. Just something general. Jordan pushed off. It's great.
They just want people to know. Okay, so what will this day off be like for Greg Gurley? Will you venture out into Salt Lake City and do anything touristy? I think Jake just gave me, he might have some suggestions. Will you stay close to the hotel? What will you do?
So we're going to drive to Park City. Park City, we went there about 5 years ago. Beautiful ski town. And Amy's here with me. My daughter from Denver drove up with her boyfriend. So we're going to go spend the day in Park City, which is way different than Salt Lake City. That's just like a whole different world up there. And so it's fun. Go to a distillery up there for all you bourbon aficionados.
Ah.
A great distillery.
It is different than Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's none of those in Salt Lake.
And you wouldn't think of Utah as having a great whiskey distillery. High West, I highly recommend it. Great food. I'll go buy a couple bottles for the flight home tomorrow. We went there again 5 years ago, had a great time, and walk around. I'll get you guys a shirt, just Ski Park City or something. I'll see if they have a youth section, and we'll come back with gifts.
I'm looking here at the visitsaltlake.com, and the local secrets. Apparently, if you go to the Sears parking lot, there's taco carts there with the best street tacos in town.
Ooh.
And so I don't know, maybe tell your driver, take me to the Sears parking lot and get some street tacos. I don't know.
Okay.
Just trying to find some fun things for the girlies to do. Do you like your
do you like
your daughter's boyfriend?
I do.
Mm-hmm. You sure?
Nick.
All right, Nick, good kid.
Dating for 7 years.
All right, so you see he's thumbs up then. You're good.
Yes, thumbs up.
All right, then. What about?
I hope he's not listening.
What about Nate? What do you think of Nate?
If my daughter brought Nate home?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my first question would be like, that would be a weird slow dance because my daughter is about 6 inches taller than him. That would bother me.
Well, enjoy your day off, and then we'll look forward to what should be a great game on Saturday afternoon right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Greg, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
All right, boys. Thanks.
It's Greg Gurley. I'd go to the Sears parking lot for tacos. I mean, I'm just...
Sounds delicious.
You can go to Brigham Young's Family Cemetery.
Salt Lake City's an interesting town.
So you've been there too, huh?
A couple times, yeah. A few times. It's, not a lot of places to find a drink, not a lot of places to find a cup of coffee. They do exist.
Right. So it looks like an interesting town.
It's a bit different.
It's different.
Go on.
It's beautiful. I mean, in terms of like the mountains.
Yeah.
I've never been over to the Park City side. I hear it's amazing.
Scenery is fantastic. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Getting packaged liquor there, that's a little weird.
That was your goal?
Well, it was my goal everywhere when I worked.
Something tells me you found a way, though.
Yeah, but it's like they're state-run. Like the state runs all the liquor stores there. It was weird. They take your license and they have to, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, jumped through some hoops, that's all. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back.
I jumped right through.
You sure did. Dove through all the hoops at once. When we come back, we will have Border Patrol bracketology. If we didn't screw up your bracket yesterday,
let
us do it today on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate you. I would like to mention, can I, Jake?
Yeah, of course.
Tomorrow.
You have my permission.
I'll be at Midwest Tinting. I will be there from 11 until 1 after I leave Miss Julia and her track meet at St. Teresa's. I'll be heading over to Midwest Tinting. The open house is from 10 until 1. I will be there from 11 until 1 right here on Metcalf, just off of 435 in Metcalf. You can't miss it. Come on. You could win a free tint job. Yes, right. I said tint. Tint. You can, there's also going to be a live tint and paint protection demonstration, exotic cars, a ribbon cutting ceremony, and yes, the Crave Taco Truck will be there. They're celebrating 49 years in business. Come check out their new facility out here on Metcalf, the largest tint shop in the Midwest. Midwest Tinting. It's 10600 Metcalf Lane, right off Metcalf. You see it from Metcalf. Come on now, let's have fun. You can also check out MidwestTinting.com or give them a call. 913-384-2665. 913-384-COOL. COOL. 913-384-COOL. So come out and see me tomorrow, 11 to 1. You win a free tint job, Crave Taco Truck, exotic cars, all that and more tomorrow, 11 to 1, Midwest Tinting. Now, it's Border Patrol bracketology. A variety of sounds that I just heard in my ear that made no sense, but it's fine.
Open keys.
There we go.
I'm just testing stuff out.
That's pretty much been this show for the last 20 years. Yep. And away we go.
Just a big test.
We'll start off with the first game of the day to tip off, the 8-9 matchup in the East. 11:15 a.m. on CBS, the 9-seed Northwestern against the 8-seed FAU. Northwestern opened up as a favorite. Now FAU's favored by 4.5. I'm going with FAU. Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez.
I'm going with FAU as well.
Me also.
All right.
So what's that mean? Go ahead and take Northwestern in your bracket.
Up next, 11:40 a.m. on True TV. It's the 14-3 matchup in the West. Colgate against Baylor. Baylor favored by 14.5. Scott Drew will greet you early in the morning as the second game to tip off.
Yes, sir.
I like the hello, how's everyone doing? Because it sounds so genuine. Colgate, Baylor. I don't see an upset here. I'll go with Baylor. I think they got at least a win in them. That game being played in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Nate Bucati.
Yep. Yes, sir. Right. Baylor.
Jake.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Baylor.
Baylor.
Next game is a 12:45 tip on TNT. The 12 seed UAB takes on the 5-seed San Diego State in the East. San Diego State favored by 6.5. Nothing sexy here. I will go with San Diego State. Jake, you go next.
Yeah, I'm on the same side. Nothing exciting. San Diego State for me also. Sorry. Nate, what do you got?
Yeah, 3-for-3. I got the Aztecs as well.
This is super boring.
Yep. and it's going to continue to be super boring because at 1 o'clock on TBS, it's Western Kentucky, the 15 seed, against the 2 seed Marquette, featuring Nate's second favorite coach in the nation, Shaka Smart. It would be a shaka if Western Kentucky wins. That's why I'm going with Marquette. Marquette favored by 14.5 in the South. Nate Bucati.
It would not be very smart for me to pick against Marquette in this one, so I'll pick Marquette as well. Thank you.
Yeah, Jake? Marquette going with D Money, Money Styles alma mater. Marquette Golden Eagles.
And the boredom continues. The 16 seed Stetson. And my pick to win the national championship to repeat. Number one, UConn. East Region in Brooklyn. The only question is, will they cover? UConn, Jake, favored by 26.5.
I was on the wrong side of those big numbers yesterday.
Who you got?
I'll take UConn, but, I mean, it's hard to stay away from 26.5 points.
Well, it's not that hard, but, no. I mean.
I'll try.
Something tells me.
I mean, I think.
It's a lot more difficult for you.
Part of me takes it just like, I got to make this exciting for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I'll take UConn. I'll give up the points.
Yeah. Well.
Nate?
Yeah, UConn.
UConn.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
2:10 p.m. True TV, the 11-6 matchup in the West Region in Memphis. New Mexico, the 11 seed against the 6 seed Clemson. New Mexico is favored 2.5, but they're the 11 seed. I'm picking New Mexico to win this game.
Attaboy.
Jake Gutierrez.
I also have New Mexico, and I have them in my Final Four.
What?
Yeah.
What Final Four is this?
I told you that's funny.
What is it?
Illinois,
again?
Houston, Gonzaga, and New Mexico.
It's a hell of a Final Four.
I think so, too.
Nate Bucati.
I liked it. Bold and daring. I appreciate it. I got Clemson, but you guys still got the upset special.
Oh, so we get the upset special. Now you're the one dragging ass around here.
Upset special. Upset special.
That's right, more ways than one.
Yeah, right.
All right, the 3:15 tip-off on TNT features 13-seeded Yale and the 4-seed Auburn, who's also KenPom's number 4 team in the nation, according to his ratings.
Bruce Pearl, baby.
Auburn is favored by 12.5. The SEC has laid a giant turd in this tournament so far, but the pooping stops here. As Auburn will clench their cheeks and move on to the next round. That's enough of that, I think. Give me Auburn. Nate.
War Dam Eagle.
Yep.
War Dam Eagle.
Yep. Bruce Pearl.
All right.
The Fighting Pearls.
All right. Here, I don't know what you got. To be honest with you, I don't know what I picked. The 3:30 tip-off on TBS, the 10-7 matchup in the South. Features Colorado, the 10 seed, and the 7 seed Florida. Florida's favored by 1.5, and I believe I took Florida, and so I'll stick with the Gators.
Well, I have Tad Boyle and the Colorado Buffs.
There it is.
Sound the alarm, Jake. We're going for the upset special. I got the Buffaloes, too. Mm.
Go Tad Boyle.
Upset special. Upset special.
Oh, my word.
All right. The very intriguing matchup at 5:50 p.m. on TNT. Winner of the game takes Trev Alberts home with them. Texas A&M and Nebraska. 8-9 matchup in the South in Memphis. Nebraska looking to win their first tournament game ever. And I say the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, is going to do it. Give me Nebraska.
Yeah, go Skurs. I have the mayor and the Huskers as well.
Nebraska favored by 1.5. Need
this
you is
my nephew Merrick Gregory, a freshman at Nebraska. Go Big Red. Let's go.
Yeah, there you go.
Are all three of us Huskers on the same page with Nebraska? All right, then.
Yeah. Make the Nebraska fans happy.
Making history.
6:10 p.m. CBS, the 13-4 matchup in the South. It's Vermont and Duke.
Duke.
Duke is favored by 12.5. I'd love to see Duke lose, but I'll pick Duke to win. Jake Gutierrez.
Yep. I got Duke as well. I'd love to see an upset here, but I think Pete Gillen agrees that, you know, Duke is Duke.
And certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Nate?
Yeah, Duke.
Duke. Puke.
Go Catamounts, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll root for that.
6:25 p.m. tip-off on TBS. Purdue looking to become the first team ever to lose to a 16 seed in back-to-back years. Can they do it?
I hope.
Purdue takes on Grambling in the 1-16 matchup in Indianapolis in the Midwest. I have Purdue going to the national championship game because I'm a moron, so give me Purdue here. Nate Ducati.
I would love to pick Grambling, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Purdue.
Purdue. Purdue. Or Purdue.
All right. 6:35 tip-off on True TV features the 13-4 matchup between the 4-seed Alabama, who is apparently coached by the biggest prick in college basketball, Nate Oates.
He just got an extension, too.
And they'll take on number 13, Charleston. So,
that's a good joke.
Root heavily for Charleston.
The big prick got an extension.
But I did pick the prick. I've got Alabama going to the Sweet 16. So.
Kind of weird. I think we mentioned it yet. You guys mentioned it that Gary, like, you don't hear him talking.
No, he's, he has no.
It's like, go Creighton. You went to Alabama, no,
yeah.
Dude.
He played in a national championship
right.
game with Alabama and has zero allegiance to him.
Right.
So.
You think he'd be like, hey.
No, you'd think, but he's not. Loves him some Creighton, though.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Nate Ducati.
Yeah, I guess I'm voting for the prick as well.
Wow.
I've heard that about you. Yeah.
Tremendous, tremendous tournament analysis here on the Board of Control, Sports Radio 810.
That's how we pick our games.
We continue the giggles as the 8:20 tip-off on TNT. Longwood is going to try to put it to Houston.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, Houston. Hopefully they don't have a problem. This is the 1-16 matchup in the South in Memphis. Houston's favored by 23.5.
Oof.
Go, Kelvin Sampson. I got you going to the Final Four. Get her done.
Get her done.
Anyone else?
I have them as my national champion.
Oh, wow.
What if Houston has a lead, though, and Longwood comes from behind?
Wow. Whoa. I think they crossed the line, actually. Unbelievable. Now these
totally
last three are all compelling.
Totally inappropriate.
Here we go. 8:40 p.m. CBS. I'll be missing the beginning of this game as I drop Selena off at the Midnight Madness event at St. Pius, the 10th High School's gym. And so that's fine. I'll make it back home to hopefully watch a good portion of this game, as the 12 seed James Madison, 31-3, takes on the 5 seed Wisconsin, 22-13. Wisconsin's favored by 5.5. The game's being played in Brooklyn.
Crooklyn.
I have picked James Madison to win this game, Nate Bucati.
I kind of want to know what Jake does first.
Wow.
No, he said Nate Bucati.
Right.
He's running the show.
There you go.
Well, I've got Wisconsin going, but I want to
Okay, there.
Well, guess what? Guess what I have? I have James Madison.
Oh!
Let's go.
There he is.
Whoa, hey, commercial.
Wrong sounder. All right, then. There you go. Apparently, don't want to hear the sounder that bad.
He was so damn good.
A super
guess
rough segment
have.
For Jake, but that's fine.
I'm tired.
Guess what I have? The wrong button.
Oh my word.
All right, 8:55 tip off on TBS. 8-9 matchup in the Midwest. It's the 9 seed TCU and the 8 seed Utah State. TCU is favored by 4.5. I shall go with the 9 seed TCU.
Nate?
Which region are we in again?
We are Midwest. In the Midwest regional. This game is in Indianapolis.
I pick TCU.
Yeah, clean sweep.
Oh, yes! Hey. TCU favored by 4.5.
Go Horned Frogs.
Oh my word.
And finally, 9:05 tip off on True TV. 12:05 matchup in the West in Spokane. The 12 seed Grand Canyon, 29-4 this year, led by head coach Bryce Drew, against the 5 seed St. Mary's. St. Mary's.
The Gales?
I actually dated 2 girls from St. Mary's.
Different St. Mary's.
Independence, which no longer exists, but that's fine. Interesting memories. Anyway,
California.
Grand Canyon led by NCAA tournament hero Bryce Drew. And let's find out if Nate Bucati listened to the segment he took part in yesterday. Grand Canyon is led by what former Kansas player?
Tyon Grant Foster.
You're damn right.
Attaboy.
He started at KU in 2020-2021, played 22 games, averaged 8 minutes a game, then went to DePaul. We heard about the health issues that Jesse Newell told us about. Now he is back with a vengeance. He's averaging 33 minutes a game, 19.8 points, and 6 rebounds a game. I like Bryce Drew. I like the story of Tyon Grant Foster. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I would like to visit it.
Lebo said it's cool.
So give me Grand Canyon in the 12-5 upset over St. Mary's. Nate Bucati.
I've been on the campus of Grand Canyon University. It is in Phoenix. It is not in the Grand Canyon, but it's a very nice campus. And I don't have hardly any recollection whatsoever of Tyon Grant Foster playing in Kansas, but I'm glad that he's doing well, and I will take Grand Canyon as well.
There it is.
That's my analysis.
Who do you got, Jake?
I got Grand Canyon as well.
Grand, which means bet heavy on St. Mary's, Kansas City, and you'll be a winner. Are we breaking or just take it to
breaking.
The top?
No, we got breaking.
We'll do it live.
No, we won't.
Back after this on WHB. Let's finish off with a couple of shots at Nate Bucati. A wonderful listener just tweeted in, Tyon Grant Foster went to Schlegel. You would think Nate would be more supportive of his dot brethren, or is Nate Mr. Joko now? Boom, roasted. Turner's back on KCK. Schlegel in the house. We got your back, Tyon Grant Foster. Let's go. Nate says nothing. Also, we had a wonderful email yesterday from M. Long pointing out that there is a huge student archery tournament in Branson, Missouri this weekend. 800 participating schools with more than 250,000 Missouri students have been competing in archery in recent years, and it's a gigantic tournament. He said he would have sent the information to Nate, but he said Nate would have ignored it. Nate, there you are, buddy. The people listen, and they love you.
I think he did send it to me.
Not good. Any apologies to the Schlegel community?
Yes, right. I do feel bad about that. Thank you. Anybody from KCK that's doing good things in the world makes me very proud.
There you go. Go Grand Canyon. Go KCK.
That's
go
right.
Schlegel. And go my bracket. Please give me someone good to root for. Everyone have a great weekend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Goodbye.